James chapter number 5, right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter number 5. This evening we'll read verses 10 through verse number 20 responsively. I'll read verse number 10. You'll join me on verse number 11, all the way through the end of the chapter, verse number 20. James chapter number 5. The Bible says in verse number 10, "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him," let's finish on verse 20 together, "let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death, and he shall hide a multitude of sins."
Oops, I'm supposed to pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Help us tonight as we open its pages and investigate a truth. Lord, there are people in this room that desperately need this truth tonight. There are some that don't know they need it, but they're going to need it in days to come. There are others that it may take a while before they need it, but help them to hide it in their hearts so that it's there when they need it for recall, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We live in a grumpy, whining, complaining society. And sad to say, even Christians grumble and complain far more than we should. It's gotten to the point that I almost don't ask people anymore how they're doing, because you don't want to stand there and find out. People are living and thinking so negatively, they walk around through life with a scowl on their face. Well, if you're saved, do me a favor. Stand on your head and turn it into a smile. Good grief. If you're not dying and on your way to hell, you have nothing to frown about. People listen to the news and get upset. We'll have to wear masks when we die in our caskets. Biden did this. The Liberal Congress signed this. Can I tell you something? Who cares? I'm going to heaven. I don't know about you. I'll put up with the garbage down here to get to heaven. The country's so far in debt, we'll never pay it back. Well, it's been that way for a long time. We're going to run out of clean water, clean air, and clean underwear. The news is full of crime, murder, violence, and there's nothing good being reported anywhere. No wonder people are so sad-faced and grumpy. Do me a favor, don't listen to it. God tells us, though, there's an interesting statement here in James chapter 5. God says in verse number 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." Now, folks, that's a powerful statement. That sounds like a contradiction to me. How can you be happy and endure? The word endure does not bring with it a connotation of everything's going fine. You know, the word endure means mother-in-law. I mean, something that's not maybe as pleasant as in things in life. Matter of fact, God even mentions Job associated with this. Now think through this for a second. God says, blessed or happy are those which endure. And then he starts talking about Job. He starts talking about sickness. He starts talking about all these negative things. He says, but you can be happy while you endure those. Job's life was a mess. What did he really have to be happy about? He lost his wealth. He lost his 10 children and their spouses. He lost his businesses, all 5 of them. He lost all of his employees to death. He lost his health. He lost the loyalty of his wife. And he had 3 friends that weren't worth shooting that came to comfort him. What did Job have to be happy about? God tells us that we should call or count those which endure happy. This is the word blessed. The word blessed means jumping up and down with joy, like you do when you get something you want. God says you should be jumping up and down for joy as you endure, not vacuuming the carpet with your lower lip, not looking like you could suck dill pickle juice out of a Coke bottle with no straw. God says we are to jump up and down with happiness, with joy, when we have to endure. How can we be so happy when everything's going so bad? Let's look at that. Number one, what does it mean to endure? First of all, the word endure is a Greek word that means stay behind while others depart. To continue firm, to remain constant, to persevere, and face opposition. God says, you ought to be happy that while everybody else goes ahead of you, you're staying back here. That's not something that I enjoy. The word endure here is in the linear or the tense of means this. You have to endure and keep enduring and keep enduring and keep enduring. You'll see a statement often in the Bible, and it came to pass. Well, this is something that came to stay. It didn't come to pass. You're not going to get rid of it. It's not ever going to leave. You're going to deal with it from here on out. And God says, if you have something like that, you can be happy while you have that. You see, the word endure means it keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. Yeah, you might have something that comes and goes. It comes to pass. It comes, it will be with you, but it will pass eventually. But when you endure, it comes and it stays. The word endure doesn't mean or even imply you'll have conquest or victory. It's just something that you're going to have to deal with. Endure is a problem or an opposition or a health issue that will come and not leave, but how you take it, you can make it happy. You know, we don't understand everything about life. Let me give you 2 illustrations. There's a sweet and precious lady that I knew that for many, many years, she dealt with cancer. I think 18 years she battled cancer. I think she went through chemo 5 different times. Just an amazing lady, a lady named Marlene Evans. She wrote 2 books about cancer. First book she wrote, Cancer, My Enemy, My Friend. Then she wrote another book, There's Life After Cancer. Mrs. Evans had cancer, but Mrs. Evans changed lives while she had cancer. She decided she would be happy in spite of having cancer. When I went to Bible college, she was going through chemotherapy. I had her for speech class. Lord have mercy. And you had to know Mrs. Evans. She was one of the wildest, craziest people you'll ever meet in your life. And she had one of those voices that you could hear it from 3 miles away. She just had one of those kind of voices. And she was talking about losing yourself in speech class, and you have to be able to get up and embarrass yourself. And she reaches up, pulls her wig off, and she's slick bald. And she taught the rest of the class that way. I mean, now wait a minute. She was going through chemo. She was teaching a bunch of preacher boys and potential preacher's wives how to handle bad situations. By the way, it's because of that lady that I have that lady. My wife, between her freshman and sophomore year, decided she wasn't going back to Bible college. Had some family issues going on. Mrs. Evans called her and said, "Now, Debbie, you don't know what's going to happen this year. Maybe you'll meet the man you'll marry one day." Mrs. Evans was a prophetess. Because about 2 months later, I knocked her down in the hallway. Here's a lady who the cancer took her life. But she touched untold thousands of lives and brought happiness to people's lives. I knew a man from Ohio, became a preacher. When he was a young man, he spent almost a year and a half in an iron lung. Name's Monty Watts. Dr. Monty Watts grew up in Alliance, Ohio, just down the road from where I grew up. Monty and I went to college together. He's a bit older than I was. Monty's arms and legs were disfigured from, he was all crippled up, and he'd walk with two crutches and he had braces on. He went to Bible college and worked his way through college, married with kids. Monty Watts went into the ministry, was an evangelist for a couple decades before he went to heaven. Preached his testimony. I have it in book form called From an Iron Lung to a Pulpit. Strapping, big, strong truck driver gets struck down and spends over a year in an iron lung breathing for him. Amazing story. Monty Watts is one of the best soul winners I've ever met in my entire life. Just an amazing fella. What was that? These two people had to learn how to endure while they're happy. I've been around them. I never saw Mrs. Evans discouraged. I never saw Monty Watts down. You'd go to the hospital to see them, and man, they got the whole floor laughing. They were not well, but they were happy while they were enduring. By the way, both of them died of what made them sick. But untold tens of thousands of people were touched and changed, and eternity's been changed forever. Because of two people that were happy while they endured. Make a couple statements here. Job never got his 10 children or their spouses back. Job never got his employees back. Job never got the trust of his 3 friends back. Now, God did give him double the size of businesses. God did give him 10 more children. That was punishment for his wife. He did get those things, but he never got back anything he lost. Think through that. He still had to go to the cemetery and see 20 graves. He still had to go to the cemetery and see the hundreds of employees probably that used to work for him at the cemetery. Oh, God blessed him, but that pain he had to endure for the rest of his time. And yet we talk of the patience of Job, the Bible says. And he said, we count them happy which endure. It may be news, it's cancer. It may be news, it's some other disease. It may be the loss of something or someone physically. Maybe the loss of the use of a limb or something like that. It may be the death of someone you love. It may be someone you love moving away. It may be a grown child breaking your heart. Maybe a child who you get the news, they won't be ever quite normal. I'm not sure what that it means. Maybe the news, dementia or Alzheimer's. I was talking to Brother Fugit this week. Dr. Anderson will be 90 in May. He's in a nursing home with full-blown dementia and doesn't know hardly anything. My dear friend. Now, wait a minute. Say, preacher, are you happy? Yeah, I'm happy. We got to host a couple birthday parties for him. We got to bring him joy. Brother Fugit told me, he said, Brother Bush, he said, your church is amazing. He said, Dr. Anderson, the last several times I talked to him, said if he ever gets to travel, he wants to come to your church. He said, of all the churches in America, he wants to come to your church. Can I tell you something? I'm glad I got a chance to try to pay him back. God says that enduring is continuing when the flurry of activity around you is gone, when the news comes. And you're by yourself after the funeral. I had one of those times this morning for a little while where I missed my mom. But I know three other people that have lost a parent since I've lost mine. I texted all three this morning and said, just want you to know, I was thinking about you and I know how you feel today. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? When all the flurry of the activity's over and the meals are gone and the flowers are gone and the people visiting are gone, and the house is quiet, that's when you start enduring. God says that enduring is the long, painful days and nights that you don't tell anybody about. God says that enduring is nearing or being in your senior years, and you have a special needs child that you don't know how they're going to be cared for. Those are real fears. I deal with those. Enduring is the loss of mobility due to a stroke or disease. I think I could put up with most things, but I just don't ever want to be incapacitated like that to where my wife and my family would have to take care of me. I've told the Lord, I don't mind dying, but make it quick. I don't want to linger. No, I'm not ready to go today, but I'm not ready for the next trip. But may I say something? When those days come, how are you going to handle it? That's what enduring is. Number two, God says you can be happy if you must endure. Look at verse number 11 again. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We count them happy, those which endure. Did you know people suffer every day? But those who are happy as they suffer are the ones we look up to. We sang a song just a little while ago. Brother Josh led us in the song, The Old Rugged Cross. Anybody know the author of that? A lady named Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby was blind, I believe from birth, or just a couple days old. They put the wrong drops in her eyes and burned her eyes to where she never saw. She wrote the song, The Old Rugged Cross. Blessed assurance. He hideth my soul. Draw me nearer, Lord. I am thine, O Lord. All the way my Savior leads me. Rescue the perishing. Tell me the story of Jesus and many, many hundreds of songs. There's a lady who didn't seemingly have much to be happy about, but she endured her blindness and turned it into something very wonderful. Not many people don't know the song, The Old Rugged Cross. Written by a lady who never saw. Written by a lady who spent her whole life in darkness. People have to deal with death daily. But those who are happy as they face their loss are people we look up to. I'm going to get in trouble for this one. But men like my dad or Miss Wally. There's two people right there that in the last 6 months or so, 7 months, have lost their spouse. And look at the joy they brought so many people. We count them happy, but they endure. Poor Miss Wally, she got to live at my house. She's really got to endure. Careful now. You didn't have to amen it so fast. But seriously, my dad's my hero. Has been for a long time, but he really is now. Oh, did I say he's perfect? No, he had me. He'll tell you that was my mom's fault, not his. Can I tell you something? They're happy as they endure. It doesn't mean every moment of the day they're joyous. Doesn't mean they don't have down moments. But they're happy as they endure what they must continue to keep doing. People get told daily they have cancer. But people like that are happy while they endure. Look at that smile. You talk about a cheesy grin. She got kicked out of a restaurant in Chicago with a bunch of college girls. She was on the table leading them in singing. And they kicked her out. She was the president's wife, the college president's wife. Brother Hiles had to call her out in church to his office about it. This was not a good thing. And she had cancer, was going through chemo while it happened. Huh. People get told daily about diseases. But those who go through it happily and face it with a good attitude, we look up to. People have grown kids break their hearts. But those that keep going and try to invest in others, those are the ones we look up to. This happiness is not a courtesy smile. They're truly happy. These people are blessed because they've learned how to focus on the eternal and not the temporary hurt of today. That leads me to number three. How do we stay happy while we endure? Turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I'm going to read all 12 verses, so get your finger ready. Lick your finger and stick it in somebody's ear or something. Isaiah 53. I want you to notice what God talks about here. Watch how things are not going well in this chapter. And then as we get to the end, watch the happiness. Who hath believed our report? To whom the arm of the Lord is revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground, and hath no form nor comeliness. But when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This is talking about Jesus. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Sounding real good right now, isn't it? Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Sounds like everything's going real good for him, doesn't it? And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He has made his grave with the wicked, with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put on him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong in his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Huh. That's talking about our Savior. He endured this life happily for us. Say why? To give God happiness and to give us happiness. To give us eternal life. We have to live with eternity in view. Christians, it's time to get our eyes off ourselves. Time to get our eyes off of today and look to eternity. Oh, I'm not saying ignore everything that takes place, but get your long distance vision fixed and quit worrying about what's in front of you right now. Some of you don't look past the end of your nose to know what the next move is because you're so depressed. You're so upset. You've got this problem, got that problem, got this problem, got that problem. Hey, there's a long eternity out there. We have to walk with God to get our eyes off ourselves. It's time to learn to, as I said this morning, live the spiritual life so that you understand there's something out there more than our flesh. Folks, this old body's going to give out one day unless the Lord comes back. So I ought to live for that which is going to last longest. Eternity's a lot longer than this life. Vonda Miller's mama passed away this week. I spent a little bit of time with her yesterday. She texted me on Thursday, and then I was there with her for a little while yesterday. And I hit the door, and she said, "Pastor Bush." She put her arms around me, put her head on my shoulder, and started crying. And she said, "Mama's okay. She's in heaven." She said, "I got through this because of our church and your preaching. I understand what death's all about now." And she said, "I'm doing great." She was rejoicing in the fact that her mama was well, 94 years old. She said, "Mom can see, she can walk, she can run. She's doing all the things she wants to do. Why should I be discouraged?" She said, "So I looked at my three brothers and said, Mom told me I'm in charge, so we're having Easter. We're going to have everything. We're going on." I said, "Good for you. Good for you." She said, "I thought about taking another day off work, but then I remembered you saying, get back in schedule. I'll be at work Monday morning." She said, "Everything I've done that you've told me to do, it works. Why stop now?" But she's living with eternity in view, not today. We get so short-sighted that all we see is today and yesterday. And what was, hey, eternity's long, let's look ahead, not backwards. May I say something to you? God is good whether he's good to you or not. God's good whether he's good to me or not. I love the fact that God blesses this church. But if God never blessed me again, I've been blessed far beyond measure. We've seen more happen in our little church than most big churches see happen all the time. How about we focus on that book right there? It's eternal. It's more eternal than the things of this earth. It's more eternal than your cars, your houses, your games, all the things that we want to get busy in doing. I'd rather focus on the eternal and not the temporary. It doesn't mean that I can't do the temporary. But when my life is filled with the temporary and very little eternal, no wonder our world is so messed up. How about we focus on loving others and giving others what they need and want and quit thinking about what we want? I'm not a good example of this. But honestly, I don't want nothing. Beatrice was back for a little while for spring break. She calls my wife and I mom and dad. She said, "Dad, what do you want for your birthday?" I said, "Nothing." She said, "That's not fair." My wife looked at her and said, "Welcome to the family." She asked me again after she'd gone back, and I said, "Tell you what, you go soul winning, witness to 54 people, one for each year of my life, and that'll satisfy me." She said, "I can do that." I said, "I know you can, then go do it." I'd rather have 54 people witness to than me to get some trinket or toy or something. I'm not a great Christian, first to tell you that. I'm probably not the best Christian in the room. But I hope to be focused on the eternal, not the temporary. Did you know you can take whatever life throws at you? I get news every week about death. I get news every week, like I did this last week, about Dr. Anderson, Fonda's mom. Got word today Chris Cave's in the hospital. I can go on and on and on and on. It doesn't stop. If I wasn't careful, I'd focus on all that negative and really have the time. Say, "Preacher, how do you stay so on top side?" I don't think about what's underside. I keep looking on the top side. I go after what's on the top side. I stay focused on the top side. That way, while the underside is raining, all that rain we got a little while ago, did you know if you got above those clouds, it was bright and sunny? So get in the plane and go up above the clouds and quit complaining about the rain. "Oh, it's just so cloudy out. I'm so miserable. I'm so depressed." We'll turn the light bulb on. Who cares? You're allowing the external to control you. How about we get on the top side? Turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and I'm going to finish. I thought of preaching a whole sermon on this, but I'm just going to give this as a close to this sermon because I think it's appropriate. How do you endure? Let me show you how you endure. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 27. "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured," watch this, "for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible." Ooh, this is talking about Moses. Now, everybody look at me for a second. Does it say he saw him who was invisible? No, it doesn't. Moses endured all the things. Can you imagine putting up with 3.5 to 5 million complaining Jews? Whining and complaining at every stop. But the Bible says he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Not by seeing him who is invisible, but Moses said, I'm going to envision seeing Jesus and doing what he would do if he were here. I will look at the invisible while I face the visible to do what the invisible would do if he were here. If Jesus got news of cancer, how would he deal with it? If he got news of someone he loved who had passed away, how would he deal with it? Oh, we know what he did with Lazarus. Lazarus got sick and he delayed going there. They wanted him to heal Lazarus. He said, no, I'm going to resurrect him. They could only see a healing. He had a resurrection in mind. But wait a minute. He wept with them because they heard. But he saw what they could not see. And you endure by looking at what you cannot see by someone who can see it. Brother Hiles used to preach a sermon, you don't have to see if you can see the one who sees. In other words, you stop and you say, how would you handle this? He'll show it to you in the Word of God, not by a feeling, not by some sign on a billboard somewhere, not in a dream. Oh, I have a dream. God said dreams and visions have been done away because we have the whole Word of God. Dreams and visions don't mean anything but bad pizza before you went to bed. God gave you everything you need in the Word of God. And as you see him who is invisible by the visible, you'll be able to endure that which you don't think you can endure. I had never built an entire building project by myself before. But we're sitting in it. We've got heat. We've got air. We've got electricity. And we've got indoor plumbing. And the roof doesn't leak. Can I tell you something? We didn't do bad. There were many times I was about to pull my hair out and everybody at the county's hair out. Brother Andy's already got his out. She pulled it out. Oh, can I tell you something? But sometimes you have to say, okay, God, how do you see this? This is your work, not mine. Okay, I'll do it your way. It doesn't make any sense to me, but I'll do it. I remember waking up at 3 o'clock one morning. Brother Scott, God told me something wasn't right with this building. They were still working on it, and they were bringing up the pad. And I said, why is this thing so high? And I said, shut it down. Called the county, set up, that was on a Friday, set up a meeting for Monday. Builder's going crazy. Excavator said, I don't know, Pastor Bush, but doesn't make sense to me. They wanted this building another 1.5, 2 feet higher than it is right now. And then, at that point in time, the building was angled about 20 feet this way. And the front corner of the building would have been hanging over the front part of the water retaining pond out there. And what they didn't tell us, and what wasn't in the design, that probably would have cost us another $500,000. We'd have to build a retaining wall that went about 25 feet deep across the entire front of this and this side of this building just to hold the weight of this building back so it didn't fall down. And I said, God, we've got to do something. And I was sitting in a meeting with the engineers, and the builders. And I said, why can't we just kind of with the building? Will that solve the problem? I'm not an engineer. Everybody looked at it and went, well, yeah, that's easy. It only cost us $21,000 in engineering to figure it out, but we got her done. That's a whole lot better than $500,000 for a wall. And we didn't have to go any higher. Everything was okay. But before I went in that meeting, I said, God, you're going to have to give me wisdom I don't have. You're going to have to show me things I can't see. And I went in as seeing him who was invisible. I'm not that smart. But I know how to endure. I can take it. I can look at the eternal and not worry about the present because I happen to know eternity is a whole lot longer than this life. As seeing him who is invisible. How do we endure? God told us how to endure. And you can be happy while you do it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Maybe we ought to quit grumbling. Maybe we ought to quit our complacency. Maybe we ought to quit listening to all the stupid news that makes us upset. How about we take the time we read the news and listen to the news and watch the news and tell somebody about Jesus? That'll make the devil good and mad.